We welcome our pastor as he brings the word tonight.
Praise God. Thank you, Pastor Tino. God bless you. And thank you to everyone who is joining us online tonight. I welcome you to day 6 of 30 days of planting the heavens. I thank God so much for his faithfulness. When we started, we didn't know all that he had in mind. We just knew he wanted us to launch into this. And as we've taken one step after the other, I have started to see over the last couple of days some of what the Lord is doing and some of what he had in mind. And I trust God that these blessings in your life and in my life will be permanent in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
If somebody is alive and you are well and you're excited to be with us online tonight, can you shout hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Okay, that was a little weak. It's like a Saturday evening hallelujah, you know. Can I have like a Sunday morning hallelujah from the happiest person
alive?
Hallelujah.
Somebody whose day is breaking, somebody whose morning is dawning. Can I hear a louder, much louder hallelujah from somebody out there tonight?
Hallelujah. Amen.
Do you have your confession? You have your 2015 confession? Let's go through it together. Everybody, 2, 3, go. 2015 is my year of heaven and earth. I am rising up. I am Christ, heavenly place.
Welcome, heaven. Love God.
Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost are the new constant in my life. No more crying, no more
whining.
Sorrow, pain, and failure. Former things are passed away, and all things are new. The night season is over. Daybreak is finally here. Good morning. And as the garden causes the thing stoning in to spring forth, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth out of my life.
Exceeding grace will make a difference in my destiny.
The way life is abundant, continually overflow in me. I am free from every yoke and chain of darkness. Divine wisdom will distinguish me.
I am walking over, 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 I
I am Christ, heavenly place. The garden of Eden is my new reality.
Yeah.
Of heaven and earth. day singing, praising, celebrating, joining hands. Welcome. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God. I want you to please read with me tonight. Turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 16. Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 16. God said, "And I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and then say unto Zion, Thou art my people." Everything God says is significant. If it is not significant, God will not say it. No idle word, no unfruitful word has ever come out of the mouth of God. Everything God says is significant, is powerful, and it produces fruit. You know his word says in Isaiah 55, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth." He said, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and does not return there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud." It makes the earth bring forth and bud, so that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, empty, nor barren, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Isaiah 55 from verse 10 to verse 12. No unfruitful word has ever come out of the mouth of God. Everything that God says is significant. If it is not significant, God will not say it. That is why God is absolutely committed to his word. The Bible tells us in the book of Numbers, "He is not a man that he should lie, neither is he the son of man that he should repent. Has he said it, and shall he not bring it to pass? Has he spoken it, and will he not make it good?" Everything that comes out of the mouth of God is significant, is powerful, is reality. If it was not reality before he spoke it, from the moment he spoke it, it becomes reality. "I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth." God's ultimate purpose is to cause our mouth to become absolutely united with his mouth. His purpose is to cause our words to become fully agreeable with his words, so that our mouth can generate the same power or similar results that his mouth generates. He said, "I have put my words in your mouth." They are my words, they carry my spirit, they carry my power, but I have put them in your mouth. Why? So that I can do through your mouth what I have done through the ages by my mouth. "I have put my words in your mouth, and I have covered you in the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth. And then I will say to Zion, which was not my people, was not a people, but I will say to Zion, now you are my people. And everything God says brings forth after his kind. Isaiah 55 says, it prospers thereunto. Whatever God says, wherever God sends his word, he prospers. It never returns to him empty. It doesn't go from him empty, and it does not return to him empty. You can see why now. In Genesis 1, God was so committed to speaking heavenly words. You can see why now. A major part of God planting the heavens in Genesis chapter 1, from verse 1 to 31, was actually in what God said, in what God called, and in what God blessed. In fact, the entire mission of planting the heavens in Genesis chapter 1 can be summarized as follows. And God said it, and it was so, and God saw that it was good. And God said it, and it was so, and God saw that it was good. You know, it is very interesting when you take a step back and do a count in Genesis chapter 1. Actually do a physical manual count. What God said, the things God said, the things he called, the things he pronounced, the things he blessed, is recorded 18 times in Genesis chapter 1. 18 times. What God saw, that is, what he looked and saw, was recorded 6 times. 6 times. That means God spoke heavenly words 3 times as many times as he looked for the result of what he was speaking. No wonder the very first assignment God gave man, Adam, after Adam settled down in his new home in the Garden of Eden, very first assignment in Genesis chapter 2 verse 19, he brought the animals to him and told him to speak, to call them. And the Bible says, whatsoever Adam called them, that's what they were. The very first assignment of a living, breathing human being on the planet was to speak words. And whatever he spoke, that's what it was. In Genesis 1, look at it. We can do the entire thing, but I can start you off on this, and when we are offline or when you have a time next week, you can go through it and check it out yourself. Genesis 1, look at it, verse 3, and God said, verse 4, and God saw, verse 5, and God called, verse 5, and God called, verse 6, and God said, verse 8, and God called, verse 9, and God said, verse 10, and God called. Verse 10b, and God called the seas, and he saw that it was good. Verse 11, and God said. Verse 12, and God saw. Verse 14, and God said. Verse 15, and God said, let them be for light. Verse 18, and God saw that it was good. Verse 20, and God said. Verse 22, and God blessed and said, be fruitful. Verse 24, and God said. Verse 24b, and it was so. Verse 26, and God said. Verse 28, and God blessed them and said, be fruitful. Verse 29, and God said. Finally, verse 31, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Notice
And God said. God was so committed to speaking heavenly words. And a major part of God's planting the heavens in Genesis 1 was contained in what God said, what God called, and what God blessed. And God said, and it was so, and God saw that it was good. It will help, because I've done this exercise myself personally. There are two parts to this exercise, and I encourage you to do the same. It will help to go through every one of those verses in Genesis 1 where God said, and I've already walked you through the significance of each creation on each day, when light was created, when heaven was created, the firmament, when the earth was created, when the stars were created, when the life in the water was created, life on the earth was created. It will help to go through all those verses where God said and to line it up with the corresponding area of your life and to say something there. Notice how God spoke, not in generalities. That is amazing to me. That God could have stood on the corridors of heaven and just said, let there be everything complete upon the earth. But he didn't do that. He spoke in specifics. Many believers today, and sometimes it is part of the fact that we are so rushed. Everything has to be so quick. And yet we give time, precious time, to so many things that are irrelevant. But the things that are most relevant in our life, many times we hardly give that much time to. We are so rushed. We want to get it done quick and move on. And so you listen to the prayer of a believer many times. Oh God, and bless me. And God, bless me. And bless my family. And bless my marriage. And God, and just bless my job. And God, please give me and bless me my finances. And God, bless me. Bless me as I go out today. And bless me. And bless my car. And bless my brother. And bless my... What exactly do you want him to do? Yesterday, last night, we went through the one thing. And we received wisdom of God to be able to identify our first one thing. Articulation is mandatory for manifestation. Articulation is mandatory for manifestation. What do you want him to do? God bless my body. What? Make your right leg grow longer than the left one. Make one eye see brighter and one ear be bigger than the other. What? God, bless my job. What? What should he do there? God, increase me in my spiritual life. Okay, what? What? What should he do in your spiritual life? You can't read the word, so you need him to quicken you in your spirit. Then articulate it. You struggle when it comes to keeping your commitment in the things of the spirit. Then articulate it. You are active when you are in a party and you are laughing with everybody. But when it comes to reading the Bible, before you read three verses, you are dozing off and you are knocking your head on the table. Articulate that. Don't just say, God, bless my marriage. How should he do that? What exactly do you want him to do there with it? You are having dysfunction. No peace. You can't agree. Okay, articulate it. It is hard for you to play your part in the marriage. You need grace. Articulate it. God, bless my children. Okay, do what? Do what? God, bless my finances. And what? What do you want him to do? Articulation is mandatory for manifestation. I encourage you, run this exercise
run it a few times in the next few days. Go through Genesis 1. And everywhere you see, and God said, and God called, and God blessed, put your name there and look at the corresponding area of your life and put it and put the specifics there. And God said, and it was so. And God saw that what he said was good. And Coyote said it. And it was so. And Coyote saw that what he said was good. Go through and put your name in there. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Why did God enjoy such complete creative accuracy? I call it complete creative accuracy. Because the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, everything he said, came to pass. Why did God enjoy such complete creative accuracy? Why were God's words at creation, why were they so completely and powerfully created? And why is it that compared to our own words, many times, our words many times are so incomplete and so inaccurate? Why? The Bible tells us two reasons. Number one, the words God spoke were not empty, idle, or barren words. The words God spoke were not empty, idle, or barren words, but they were always words of faith. I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. We have a few scriptures. We're going to read them really quickly. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So that means God's words in Genesis 1 were words of faith. Every word God spoke, words of faith. And in Mark 11, Jesus talked about something he called the God kind of faith, where words are concerned. The God kind of faith, where words are concerned. Mark 11, verse 14, 22, and 23. In verse 14, he spoke to the fig tree. Jesus answered and said unto it, speaking to the fig tree, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard his word. Verse 22, when they saw the result of what he spoke, they were alarmed and amazed. And they expressed their amazement. And Jesus said to them, Jesus answering said unto them, have the God kind of faith. The original in there says, have the God kind of faith. Then he describes it in the next verse. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say, notice, the God kind of faith, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. That's creative accuracy. He shall have whatsoever. So the words
Why did God enjoy complete creative accuracy? Number one, his words were not empty, idle, or barren words, but they were words of faith. Number two, the words that God spoke were not intellectual, logical, reasoning words. God never spoke, he never speaks intellectual, logical, reasoning words. His words are always words of spirit and words of power. He does not speak intellectual, logical, reasoning words. If he did, then when he saw the earth covered in darkness, void, in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, what should have come out of his mouth should have been, oh, see how dark it is down here. Oh, this looks so hopeless. Oh, what are we ever going to do about this? That's what he would have said. That is intellectual, logical, reasoning words. But God never speaks intellectual, logical, reasoning words. The words God always speaks are always words of spirit and words of power. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. He says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. Upholding all things by the word of his power. So his words are words of spirit and words of power. His words are not logical, intellectual, reasoning, carnal, fleshly words. John chapter 1 from verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the word God spoke was him. The word that God spoke was him. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Every word that God spoke were words of spirit and words of power. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 63, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. God never speaks intellectual, logical, reasoning words. That's why he enjoys complete creative accuracy. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God is words of spirit and words of power. They are not enticing wisdom. You remember what Paul said? I didn't come to you speaking words of human wisdom, words of enticing human wisdom, but words in the demonstration of the spirit and power. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4 and 5. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the spirit and of power, so that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. In the power of God. God's words are always words of spirit and words of power. You know, beloved, when God created your mouth and my mouth, your mouth was created to be an instrument of praise
an instrument of creation and an instrument of blessing. Let me say that again. When God created our mouth, this our mouth were created to be an instrument of praise, an instrument of creation, and an instrument of blessing. That means praise, creativity, and blessing are the only things that should proceed out of our mouth. When God created our mouth, He created our mouth to be an instrument of praise, creation, and blessing. So don't use your mouth for anything else. There is a spiritual law. I'm explaining to you briefly now before I bring this to a close tonight. I'm trying to show you briefly now from the Word of God one of the major mysteries and one of the major reasons why we lack creative accuracy. Why, as humans, our words are so flawed and so weak and powerless. Remember, when God created your mouth was created an instrument of praise, creation, and blessing. That means the only thing that should be proceeding out of your mouth and my mouth should be praise. Praise. And every time I utter praise, every time I speak praise, I get empowered in my mouth.
Yeah.
I become empowered in my mouth. And every time I complain, and every time I speak anything that is contrary to praise, I lose power in my mouth. My mouth was created to be an instrument of praise.
Yeah.
My mouth was created to be an instrument of creation. That means I'm supposed to create with my mouth, I'm not supposed to destroy. That means every time I create with my mouth, every time I look at something and I say in the name of Jesus, this should be this way, and I speak that this will be this way now, from now on, in Jesus' mighty name. When I do that and create, power comes into my mouth. I know. Recently, I walked through a certain part of our property, our ministry, and there were certain things I know that we were believing God for, and it dawned on me, why don't you just call them? Why don't you just call them? Why don't you put your hand on it and say, you are increased? I have this new equipment. I have more godly people. I have people who love God and want to serve God. I have more finances. Oh, I looked at my life and some words came out of my mouth. And I have, And I quickly wrote it down in my Bible. I said, 2015. Is the year when I will sow a one-time seed of $10,000 into the kingdom of God. Ha! Hey. What's that? I'm creating. 2015 is the year when I will sow a one-time seed of $10,000 into the kingdom of God. Ha! I have no idea how that is going to happen. But that's creating. And when I spoke that, something was released from heaven. I look at a child and I said, in the name of Jesus, this child, you have the mind of Christ. You are intellectually sound. You have the highest grades
You are prosperous. You are blessed. You are increasing. What's that? That's creating. That's creating. I look at the pew. You pew, you are cushioned in the name of Jesus. What's that? That's creating. In specifics. That's creating. When you look at your car, oh, I don't even know why this car, oh, Wita is here now. Oh, God, what are we going to do? That is not creating. That is destroying. When we put our mouth creating, power comes. When we put our mouth to destroying, we lose power. Beloved, that's how God planted the heavens. 2015 is the year when my family will sow a one-time seed of $10,000 into the kingdom of God. That's creating a miracle right there. Oh, yes. Year after year, because God graces us and blesses us, and we're able to do more than that over a period of time, but we have never, ever, ever given a one-time seed of $10,000. Now, that is going to be a miracle. What is that? It's creating. You need to look at every window and every room in your life in the specifics that deal with you. My sisters, who are believing God for a godly husband, don't walk around saying all the good ones are taken. That's not creating. You walk around, you pull out your journal, your list, in the name of Jesus, he's a godly man. In the name of Jesus, he loves the things of God. In the name of Jesus, he loves to take care of his family. In the name of Jesus, he loves to work hard. In the name of Jesus, he loves to serve God. In the name of Jesus, he loves to love and to be protected. In the name of Jesus, he's selfless and he's giving. In the name of, that's creating. That is creating. And to walk around and say, in the name of Jesus, I call him so. I call that man so. He's coming into my life. God is going to link our path. He will find me and I will find him in the name of Jesus. And we're going to make a great family. And together we're going to be happy. And we're going to have a good time. And we're going to expand the kingdom of God together. He will be a help and I will be a help in the name of Jesus. And we will move further in destiny and do much more than I could have done by myself alone. That is creating.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
My child is beautiful. No, you haven't taken him yet. You have tried for 2 years. And it's not happening. My child is beautiful. My child is lovely. My child will increase in wisdom and in favor and in stature before God and before men. Oh, you already have the child and he's always acting strange. Well, not to say, this child, you are going to kill me. One of these days, one of us is going to die. You either die or I will die. That's not creating. You love the Lord. The covenant of peace is upon you. You will be taught of the Lord. Like Jesus, you will grow in grace. You will grow in wisdom. You will grow in stature. You will become a man or a woman of God. You will shine as the stars of the firmament. In the name of Jesus, you will be successful. You will be rich. You will be blessed. God will use you in your generation. In the name of Jesus, you will be a preacher of the gospel. In the name of Jesus, you will be a glory to shine in this end time. That is creating.
Hallelujah.
Every time you create, you get power. There's a law, a spiritual law of confession in James chapter 3, verse 10 to 12. Let me read it out quickly to you. It says, out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. That's a law. My mouth was created as an instrument of blessing, cursing. I'm not allowed to damn anyone. I'm not allowed to send anyone to hell. I'm not allowed to hiss at anyone and say, shame on you. I'm not allowed to tear anyone down and say, you will never make it. That's not blessing. I don't care what they did to me. I am not allowed to speak anything else out of my mouth other than blessing. My mouth was created as an instrument of praise, creation, and blessing. And every time I speak a blessing, power comes.
Thank you.
My brethren, these things ought not so to be. He said, does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine fig? So can no mountain yield both salt and salt water and fresh. That's a law. No fountain can yield both salt water and fresh. It's a law. You cannot yield both. You cannot yield blessing and cursing. You cannot yield life and death. You cannot yield praise and complain. And once you pick one, which the devil empowers, you have said goodbye to the others. As we close tonight, I want you to pray two things over the next hours before we meet tomorrow night. Before you go to bed, pray these two things. Lord, help me grow in speaking words of faith. Help me. Let every empty, barren, inoperative, careless word be totally erased from my vocabulary from this moment onwards. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Number two, help me, Lord, to grow in speaking Holy Spirit guided and Holy Spirit inspired words. Lord, help me use my mouth only for its God intended purpose. Pray those two prayers. God will surprise you. If somebody receives that, shout a living hallelujah.
Hallelujah.